Again, together we are going to look into God's Word to discover truth, because the Bible is the true book. As God has declared, let God be true and every man a liar. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we have been spending a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, and we have been learning that it is a book that is more concerned with today than anything we can imagine. It is so concerned that as we read it, we almost think we're reading today's newspaper, as God is unfolding in the book of Jeremiah his plans for this very time in which we're living. We finally have come to Jeremiah 25. And in Jeremiah 25, we have found that without any question, God is talking about the very end of the world in the book of Jeremiah. Because as we look at these verses, we're going to find that God is talking about punishment upon, the final punishment upon every nation of the world. And either it had to be talking about the flood of Noah's day, when the waters covered the whole earth and destroyed everyone that was living except those in the ark, or it has to be talking about the judgment of the last day. Now, we just looked at verse 12 of Jeremiah 25, and there we found the evidence, the clear evidence, that the 70 years of that the book of Jeremiah keeps talking about, and we know, we have learned as we've been going along, that 70 years of tribulation or 70 years of God's wrath is that period from 609 B.C. when God had Josiah killed in battle, the last good king, and Israel came first of all under subjugation to the Egyptians briefly, and then to Babylon, and that continued until the year 539 B.C., a period of 70 years. And that 70 years is a dramatic picture of the time of the Great Tribulation. Because notice again in verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, and during these 70 years that Babylon has been the ruler. They have ruled totally over Israel. When the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolation. And when God finally brings judgment upon the kingdom of Satan, typified by Babylon, we know it is the very end of the world. And there's nothing more. And that matches, that parallels precisely what we read in Matthew 24, where God says there will be great tribulation. We talked about this last time, but it's so important. I want to review it for a moment. I will bring great tribulation, such as this world has never known. And then in verse 29, let's review that again. In Matthew 24, God declares, in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He himself will be the sign. He himself will be the evidence that his physical appearance will indicate that time has come to an end. And at that time he will bring judgment upon the nations, and he will have raptured all of the true believers. Now, I've searched the Bible, and I found nothing in the Bible that acts as a contradiction to this, or makes us wonder, have we read this correctly, until I got to Jeremiah 29. Now, someday we're going to get to Jeremiah 29, and we will look at that very carefully. But I want to jump ahead for a moment to Jeremiah 29, because there appears to be a problem in connection with what we just have been teaching, namely that the destruction of Babylon that is spoken of here in Jeremiah 25, and as we go on in the rest of the chapter, we will see how that all develops. But in Jeremiah 29, there's a verse that seems to indicate, no, that isn't quite the end. And one of the rules of Bible study is, and it has to be a very, very carefully followed rule. We don't set our own rules up. We compare Scripture with Scripture. And when we come to a conclusion, we have to make sure we're in harmony with Scripture. But when we get down to verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, and we're just going to move ahead for a second to look at this. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word upon you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And as we look at this verse, it seems to indicate, well, now wait a minute. The end of the 70 years does not end with judgment day, the final judgment day. There's something else that God still has to do, because he says, after 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you. And so we wonder, how do we fit that into the timeline that God is giving us? The fact is, however, that the translators had difficulty with this verse, as they normally do, from time to time do, because they were not aware of exactly what God's program was for the end. In fact, we didn't know either what it was until just a few years ago, but now that we have been going through the Bible with great care, we have learned that the program is that when the 70 years are ended, that is when the end of the great tribulation comes, it's the end. So how in the world can this, after this, fit into this? It looks like we really got a problem. Well, when we do the normal thing that any Bible teacher should do, when we are looking at a verse and we can't quite understand how to fit it in or how to harmonize it with something else, what should a good Bible teacher do? He should look at the original language and see how that word that is used or each word in that verse is used throughout the Bible. And we're living in a day, and this is all part of God's program that we can really know more and more what the true gospel is. We live in the days of computers. We live in the days when the whole Bible is laid out before us in a way that has never been, that we can look at each Hebrew word in the Old Testament, each Greek word in the New Testament. We can know a whole lot about that word, which we could not have known at earlier times. But here we find that the word after is the problem word. I'm looking at Jeremiah 29, verse 10, or verse 11. Verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished. That word after is incorrectly translated. It is a Hebrew word that is very, very common in the Bible, and normally it's translated mouth. It is a word that is used repeatedly throughout the Bible as the word mouth, but also in several instances, not just one or two, but several instances, it is translated as edge, like the edge of the sword. Now, I'm going to give you a cross-reference on this. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7, Jeremiah 21, verse 7, we're going through this not only to learn what God is saying and make sure we have the truth, but also as part of our our program of encouraging all of us to know how to study the Bible, how to look at the Bible for truth. We go to Jeremiah 21, verse 7. And there we read, it's a long verse, and afterward, this is Jeremiah 21, verse 7, and afterward saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people that are, that, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and from the sword and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life, and he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. Now, the word edge is also the word that's translated mouth. It's also the word that's translated after here in Jeremiah 29. And it's the edge of the sword, the edge of the sword. And so that immediately helps us to understand what God is saying in Jeremiah 29. Let's substitute the word edge for the word after. We're back now in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, that after, or, and thus saith the Lord, that when the edge of the 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you. When the edge of the 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you. That is, it is not something that is coming after 70 years, but it's something that is part of the 70 years. Let's analyze this for a moment. We have a sword, and there's the edge of the sword. Now, the edge of the sword is where the metal has been filed down to give a very, very sharp, sharp edge so that it can cut. And that edge is an integral part of the sword. It is not in addition to the sword. It is not outside the sword. It is part of the sword. And so when he's talking about, I will visit you at the edge of the 70 years, it's right, it's an integral part of the 70 years, like the edge of the sword is a part of the sword, but it's coming right at the very end of it, or very at the very side of it, or the very edge of it. And this is exactly, that exactly fits all the other language of the Bible, because when he says here, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, what part of the 70 years, what part of the Great Tribulation? Remember, we're learning that the period of Great Tribulation is identical to the 70 years. That is, it was typified by the 70 years. And when, at what part of the 70 years did Christ, or of the Great Tribulation, did Christ come to visit and perform something wonderful? Well, at the edge, that is, during the last part of the 70 years, is the great harvest that goes going on, that God is bringing into the body of believers a great many people. But it's an integral part of the Great Tribulation period. This is the anomaly that we're learning, and we always have to keep it in mind that this 23-year period of Great Tribulation that we're learning is from everything in the Bible is a 23-year period from the time that the end of the church age came until Christ returns, that the last part of it, there are two terrible things, or there's one terrible thing and one wonderful thing that is happening. The terrible thing is that, yes, the churches, the local congregations continue under the wrath of God. But at the same time, God is visiting the world and bringing to pass a great and wonderful harvest of true believers. So we're still secure. When we go back to Jeremiah 25, we're very secure that as we're looking at this chapter, that we're looking right at the end of the world. The last part of this is the time when Christ is bringing into the kingdom of God a great many people, and that's a whole subject in itself, but it is also the time when judgment is being readied for the final judgment throne. And so now let's go on in verse 13 of Jeremiah 25. Incidentally, we read back in verse 10, we saw that it said, "Moreover, I will take from them," and who were the them? And when we looked at that verse, we saw that was the local congregations that are sprinkled throughout the world, because it was talking about the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And remember, we saw that all these statements were figures of speech that were pointing to aspects of the gospel. The millstones, it's the grinding of the wheat, where Christ is the bread of life, the candlestick that is bringing the light of the gospel to the world. The bridegroom is Christ himself, and the bride are the true believers. And all of that is dead now. And so far it is talking just about the local congregations. And then in verse 11, "And this whole land," and remember we saw, now the land is are the local congregations, that is, though they externally represent the kingdom of God, "this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations," now that's a very curious statement, "these nations," it's the land, but it's "these nations." And that again assures us God is talking about local congregations all over the world, because as the kingdom of God was externally represented by the churches, they are located in every nation of the world. "These nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And now we get to verse 13. "And I will bring upon that land," which land? That land we've just been talking about, which externally represents the kingdom of God, namely the local congregations, "all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations." And here God now expands the word nations to not only include the nations in the sense of where the churches are located all through the world. And remember, we saw in Matthew 24, for example, there's not one stone left upon another. There's no exceptions. These pastors who keep saying, "But our church is the exception," they are engaging in complete wishful thinking. They're not looking at the Bible. They're looking at their own desires and their own hopes and their own conclusions, and they're not being faithful to the Word of God. It's talking here about I will bring upon that land all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. And now God is going to develop that. "For many nations," verse 14 of Jeremiah 25, "for many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also." Now that's an awkward phrase. Well, "shall serve themselves of them also." Again, the translators were having troubles, because this is very, very difficult language to translate if we don't know how it all fits together. It's only in our day that God has opened our spiritual eyes to all kinds of information that was not available to them. But now we can see how these things fit together. And actually, this verse would have been better translated, and it's very, very accurate to translate it this way insofar as the Hebrew is concerned. "For many nations and great kings shall serve with them also." That is, back there in verse 11, remember it was reading We read there that the local congregations that are of this land, and which include all the nations of the world, that is, the churches, this is found all through the world. These nations, I'm reading verse 11, shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That is, Babylon rules over the local congregations. And that agrees with what we have read in 2 Thessalonians 2, where we read that Satan will take a seat in the temple, and it coincides very clearly with many other passages in the Bible. But now God is saying in verse 14, for many nations, he's gone beyond the local congregation, the whole world, in other words, the whole world, and great kings shall serve with them also. That is, Satan, this is really underscoring that in our day, Satan really looks like he has won. He really looks like he has won. If we can just forget about the great multitude which no man can number that God is working with, and they're sprinkled all through the nations. But outside of that, prior to this time that we're living, remember, for 1955 years, there were essentially two kingdoms that were of concern in the world. If we could just kind of combine it all together, there were essentially two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of the churches, the local congregations. That represented the kingdom of God. Externally, that represented the kingdom of God. And outside of that was the dominion of Satan. Everything else, they were false gospels, they were other religions of one kind or another, they were political, they were sociological entities of one kind or another, and all of that was under the power of Satan. But in the churches, that is where Christ ruled. Now we've come to the time where God is saying that Satan rules in the churches. He has the complete rule of the churches. And he continues with his rule over the nations of the world. So it looks like Satan has won. My, my. He's got everything under his control. Except that outside of the churches, in the kingdom of Satan, in the world, there's one here and one there, which we call true believers, who are still under the authority of Christ. And while they're serving Satan in the sense that they recognize we have to live in this alien world, we have to recognize that Satan rules over us politically and so on, but we are here as ambassadors of Christ, and we have a big task to represent the kingdom of God now as individuals. But you can imagine what's an individual compared with a whole institution like the church age, which consisted of millions of people and thousands of churches and pastors and Bible teachers all over the world. That was a big entity in the world, even though it was still a remnant compared with the whole world. But all of that now is Satan's, and yet here and there, there's one here, there's one there, someone who is a child of God. They're the only ones who are excluded, and even they are commanded to be obedient to the laws of the land in which, the political land in which we live. We are not to be out there as fighting and quarreling. We're out there to be very carefully be as representatives of the kingdom of God, kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the kingdom of Babylon, or the Daniel in the kingdom of Babylon, or the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And that's the way we are in this day. Again, we have looked at the Word of God, and again, we have been blessed Could it be now that we will live in a way that is pleasing to God, even as we have been learning how we are to live?